This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour open line talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. To express your viewpoint, please call 804-754-1988. That's 804-754-1988. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
The Apostle Paul warned that in the last days, perilous times would come. Perilous times. Times of great peril. And then he began to describe the characteristic of these times, these last days, these times that are full of peril. He said men would be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy, without natural affection. Truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Wow, what a catalog. Sounds like a catalog of American life today, doesn't it? So I welcome you to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Crismeyer. Today we talk about understanding our times. Understanding our times. A number of years ago, in fact, 22 years ago, almost 23 years ago, a very, very profound book came out called The Day America Told the Truth. What people really believe about everything that really matters. I happen to have the book in my hands. It is well marked. In fact, I'd like to quote to you from the end, the conclusion of one of the chapters called The New American Dreams. Here's what Patterson and Kim, two advertising executives for the J. Walter Thompson Advertising Agency, had to say about the future of America. It's been said that an era comes to an end when its dreams are exhausted. America's dreams are wearing extremely thin, at least the kind of dreams that can sustain a great nation. Does that sound like the edge of perilous times? Well, it should. It should. And when Patterson and Kim found in 1991 that 91% of Americans lied regularly, conscious premeditated lies, and at the same time found that 96% of Americans believed in God, well, you could see that we were in deep trouble. 96% claiming they believed in God, but 91% admitting to lying regularly, conscious premeditated lies. And at the same time, a Los Angeles Times article came out indicating that approximately 96% of America's parents thought they were doing a good or excellent job in training their children. Well, we're going to take a look. A little deeper look today in our times, and I'm glad that you've joined us. We're going to talk about understanding our times. In fact, we're going to talk about what Americans believe. We're going to talk about the way things really are, what Americans believe or don't. And I hope you'll stay with us. A recent poll came out. In fact, it just came out, a Harris poll, entitled Belief in God Falls. Belief in God falls, even at the same time as we are engaged in the celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ, the most potent force and person who ever graced this planet, the only begotten Son of God, full of grace and truth, who declared, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Even as we celebrate this, our belief in Jesus Christ and in God the Father has diminished significantly. How can we explain this other than to recognize we are in perilous times? Here are the facts. 74% of Americans believe in God, a number that has dropped from 82% in 2005, 2007, and 2009. But the figure actually was 96%, I believe, in 1991. So we've actually dropped, what? we've actually dropped from 96% to 74% in 22 or 23 years. That is a huge drop, friends. That is almost a 25, 24% drop. It's huge. It shows that something very important, very serious has taken place in the life of we the people while claiming a national motto, "In God We Trust." Maybe, as a matter of fact, Time magazine got it right when a few years ago they had a little story called "In So Many Gods We Trust." By contrast now, 47% of Americans say they believe in Darwin's theory of evolution. That's up from 42% in 2009. So belief in Darwinism as the alternative explanation for creation to that given in the Bible is up 5%, while belief in God is down 5%. Actually, down 8% since 2009. Are you beginning to see the pattern here? And we've just barely begun describing these patterns. Even though a large majority believe in God, only 36% believe in creation. Now, isn't that interesting? So how can you believe in God but not believe what God said in the beginning? God created heaven and earth. Do you see the disconnect? There is a tremendous moral and spiritual disconnect. On the one hand, we have what you might call a kind of traditional belief in God. But on the other hand, we don't really believe Him. So we believe in God, 74%, but just don't believe God. Now that is a serious problem, particularly if God has described what is going to happen in these days, in this season, in these times, and we just don't agree with Him. We believe in Him, that He exists, but we just don't believe Him and what He says. Now, what do you think would be the implications of that? Let's suppose that your children in your household say, "Well, I believe in my father, but I just don't believe what he says. I don't believe hardly anything he says, and I'm not going to follow what he says, but I believe in him." Do you see the nonsense of it all? Now you understand why the Bible says the fool has said in his heart there is no God. That's not even a threshold issue. That's a given. It would be like your child saying, I don't believe in my father. Well, the only way he could say in any degree of intellectual integrity he didn't believe in his father is if he was born of someone else, or of a virgin birth. Today, we're going to take a look at this matter of understanding our times, what Americans believe and don't, and its implications for the future. I hope you'll stay tuned. This is Viewpoint.
Believe it or not, God has a secret. It's a life-changing, destiny-determining secret. It is God's secret because the Bible says it is. Yet, God wants to disclose His secret to all who will seek it. Discovering this secret unlocks all of God's blessings and promises, both on earth and for eternity. Unfortunately, this secret has been nearly lost over the past two generations, even in our churches. Yet, recovering it is America's only hope. That is why Chuck Chrismeyer's new book, The Secret of the Lord, is critical for this unique moment of history. A prominent pastor calls The Secret of the Lord compelling, a must-read for every Christian who loves America. Get your copy of The Secret of the Lord today, just $20 for this hard-bound, hope-giving book. Call 1-800-SAVE-USA, that's 1-800-SAVE-USA, or order online, saveus.org. That's saveus.org. So important is God's secret that it is God's final message to our planet. Get your copy today.
Chapter 1 of the book, The Day America Told the Truth, it came out in 1991, editors Patterson and Kim, was entitled A New Moral Authority in America. Do you know who the new moral authority in America was from their viewpoint as secular advertising agents, having done a massive poll on what Americans believe, not what they wanted people to think they believe, you know, sort of a politically correct kind of belief, but what they really believed in their own minds and hearts? Here's what Patterson and Kim concluded. You are the law in this country. Who says so? You do. There was absolutely no moral consensus at all in the 1990s, they said. Everyone is making up their own personal moral codes, their own Ten Commandments. Now, isn't that interesting? They said, in order to understand more fully the decline of moral authority in the United States, it is useful to compare the America of the 1990s to the America of the 1950s. In the 1950s, America as a nation was at the zenith of its power. It had just won a world war, the result of which was to make the United States the most powerful and wealthiest nation in the history of the world. The 1950s was a decade of optimism, belief in the future, belief in the nation, conformity to external moral authority was central. That was the age of the traditional husband breadwinner family. Belief in the American way was so strong in the 1950s that some social scientists began to speculate that a new civil religion of Americanism was emerging. Well, Patterson and Kim say Americans of the 1990s, that was 23 years ago, stand alone in a way unknown to any previous generation. When we wanted to answer a question of right and wrong, we ask ourselves, what we don't do is take counsel and advice from our religious and political authorities. Therefore, they concluded, who are the new moral leaders? Who is the moral authority in America? They concluded, you are, partner, you are. The overwhelming majority of people, 93%, said that they and nobody else determined what is and what isn't moral in their lives. Also, almost as large a majority confessed that they would violate the established rules of their religion, 84%. We have made ourselves the authority over church and God. Now, isn't that interesting? I, last week, was listening to one of the, in fact, he brags about how he is the head of the most listened to talk show host, talk show on cable television. His name is Bill O'Reilly. Quite an arrogant fella. And he was pontificating last week concerning his Catholicity. His being a strong, Bible-believing Roman Catholic. And then when the matter of Duck Dynasty's Phil Robertson came up, and he brought on several guests to talk about the issue. One of them, an unbelieving Jew, radically unbelieving Jew, Mr. Goldberg, mocked Phil Robertson for what he said concerning homosexuality, concerning quoting the Bible from 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Don't you know that neither fornicators nor adulterers nor practicing homosexuals and people that continue practicing anger and bitterness in their lives are not going to inherit the kingdom of God? He said that was just foolishness. That made him out to be a totally ignorant man, said Mr. Goldberg. Totally ignorant because he had the temerity to quote the Bible. Bill O'Reilly, on the other hand, said, now, I think that Phil Robertson would have been okay. He would have been okay if all he said was you know, the first part of what he said, that everything is blurred on what's right and what's wrong, starting with homosexual behavior and bestiality, sleeping around with women and women with men and so on. He said that would have been okay. But when he quoted 1 Corinthians chapter 6, saying what the Apostle Paul has clearly said, not to be deceived, but neither homosexuals, practicing homosexuals, or adulterers or fornicators and so on will inherit the kingdom of God. He said, that's condemnation. And the Bible says, thou shalt not judge. Judge not that you be not judged. So he said, Jesus would not judge. Therefore, Phil Robertson must not be a true Christian because he judged. What confusion. What absolute confusion. In the 1950s, such thinking did not even exist and certainly would never have been pontificated on the airwaves in America as legitimate conversation, because we knew that when the Bible had spoken, it had spoken, and that it was God speaking, and he's the one that had the authority, and anyone who didn't agree with it was themselves the fool, was themselves did not know what the truth was and didn't understand the Bible, didn't understand how to live, and ought not to be considered in legitimate conversation in the country. But now we have a man who pretends to be this fine, upstanding Catholic citizen who has told us very openly and boldly that he thinks Phil Robertson, the head of this Duck Dynasty family, the patriarch of the Duck Dynasty family, believes that he went way out on a limb illegitimately and showed himself not to be a true Christian by merely quoting what the Bible says about adultery, fornication, and the practice of homosexuality. He called that condemning. No. Friends, that was not condemning. They're condemned already. The Bible says those who do not obey and who do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is the only way, the only truth, and the only life, are condemned already. Jesus said that. So Bill O'Reilly doesn't even know what he's talking about. He revealed himself to be totally ignorant of how the scriptures are to be used and applied. This is the problem that we are in right now, while people who even claim to be Christians don't even know what they're talking about and have so embraced the spirit of the world, the spirit of the culture, that Christ has been given a deportation notice. He's no longer welcome. Only a revised Christ, only a reimagined Christ, such as the one that Bill O'Reilly wanted to present. We're looking at a very, very difficult time right now, friends. And it's not just what we believe, it's what we don't. It's not just what we believe, it's what we don't believe anymore. So indeed, every one of us, in some way, has become the new moral authority in the land. You are the new moral authority in the land, because when we kick over the traces of truth, we necessarily elevate ourselves to be equal with God and become the new moral authority. Now, here's what Patterson and Kim said back in 1991. Americans wrestle with these questions, that is, moral and spiritual questions, in what often amounts to a moral vacuum. The religious figures and scriptures that gave us rules for so many centuries, the political system that gave us our laws, all have lost their meaning in our moral imagination. We become wishy-washy as a nation, and some would say we've lost our moral backbone. Speaking of backbones, we have Michelle Bachmann, Congresswoman from Minnesota, who has talked about having a titanium backbone. Now, what did she mean by that? She meant that she's going to stand for the truth. She's going to stand for the truth from a biblical viewpoint, and she's not going to back off. She's not going to wince in trepidation every time somebody criticizes her. Every time one of these cultural kings wants to come in and pontificate over what God has said, whether it be Bill O'Reilly or whether it be Bill Maher or anyone else, somebody on the cultural left or cultural right, it doesn't make any difference. When we have become our own moral authority, we no longer have the backbone of Christ and his authority. Our backbone then becomes that of the culture. And you know how wishy-washy the culture is and how fickle it is. Our feelings are profoundly fickle. Therefore, faith has lost its connection. Genuine biblical faith has lost its connection in our country. So, again, we contrast. In 1990, 96% of Americans believed in God. 91% at that time lied regularly, conscious, premeditated lies. And now, 23 years later, only 74% of Americans claim to even believe in God. That doesn't mean they believe him. That means they just believe in God or believe there is a God. And in 1990, Patterson and Kim concluded, we don't stand up for what we say we believe. Only 42% at that time were willing to stand up for even what they said they believed in. Now, we just all capitulate. And so it's rather refreshing when Newsmax announced today, Duck Dynasty's patriarch Phil Robertson told a Bible study class yesterday in Louisiana that he isn't backing down from his so-called anti-gay stance, saying his controversial GQ magazine comments came from the Bible, and he's not sorry that he said them. He said, we're not even worried about the repercussions. The A&E Network suspended Robertson from his family hit show last week after his comments in the magazine's interview. Among other things, he said everything is blurred on what's right and what's wrong. Well, he's absolutely right. Start with homosexual behavior and just morph out from there, he said. He's absolutely right. Robertson told the Bible class that he was just reading what was written over 2,000 years ago. He said, All I did was quote from the scriptures. The sins are the same. Humans haven't changed. He said, I'm not a hater. I'm a lover of humanity. I'm not a hater. You see, if you quote what the Bible says that contravenes the cultural mandate of the moment, then you're called a hater because you disagree with the feelings of others. The lordship of the culture over Christ. So, even now, you can understand why there is such an amazing assault on Christmas. The assault on Christmas, friends, is merely another manifestation of the unmitigated assault on Christ himself and his authority and the authority of the Word of God in our entire culture. This is not just a game. This is not a matter for ho-hum, whatever will be, the future's not ours to see, que sera, sera. This is real stuff, friends. The nation that you call home is in serious peril. Perilous times are not coming. They are here. They are here big time. Now, I want to make available to you a book that will help us understand this situation. It's called Renewing the Soul of America. Renewing the Soul of America, endorsed by 38 national Christian leaders. And your gift of, it's an $18 book, your gift of $15 or more to Save America Ministries is going to put it in your hands. Call us 1-800-SAVE-USA. Get it on our website, saveus.org. Renewing the Soul of America. Well, we're translating the past into the present to prepare for the future, and I trust that as we chat about these things openly today, it helps us to get a better, more accurate picture of where we stand. You see, if we cannot understand, if we don't understand where we are in these times, if we don't understand the times, how in the world are we going to know how to respond to the times? You'll remember the words there in the scriptures talking about the men of Issachar, men who understood their times. Don't you think that we should be like men of Issachar, men and women who understand our times? Indeed, we should. In fact, the Bible presumes that we understand our times, or should. The Apostle Paul was very, very clear about this, you may recall, when he talked to the church at Thessalonica, and he said, look, these things about the end time should not take you unawares like it's going to take the rest of the world. You're children of light. You have enough understanding and information in the scriptures that have been provided to you that these things should not take you by surprise. They should not take you unawares. No, you should understand the times and respond accordingly. Respond biblically. Respond like Phil Robertson. Have a titanium spine like Michelle Bachmann. And yet, the spines of most of our politicians today, and even our pastors, is like a wet noodle. When our pastors try to become politicians, and our politicians try to pastor the people, and neither one of them are looking ultimately to the authority of God and His Word as absolute truth, you know you have a problem. We are in perilous times. They're not just coming, they're here. Now again, the book Renewing the Soul of America, One Person at a Time, beginning with you, endorsed by 38 national Christian leaders. It will renew your vision. It will renew your hope. It will help you to see yourself in the context of the ever-developing perilous times and give you an understanding of what you can do. What should I do? The best answer to what I should do is what I must be. Don't worry about the doing until you deal with the being. All right? Now, it's an $18 book endorsed by 38 national Christian leaders, and it's available to you today. Your gift of $15 or more to Save America Ministries. It's on our website, saveus.org. Call us, 1-800-SAVE-USA, or write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Now, I can give you another illustration that shows how perilous times have come to our country, and it is revealed in how giving to ministries that are trying to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, not trying to pander to the people, not trying to engage in what we call church growth, but limited ministries that are seeking to tell the whole truth are suffering in their donations. Churches in general are not suffering. Ministries that are trying to do hands-on kind of things where they can jerk the passions and the emotions of people through pictures and so on, those are not suffering. The ones that are suffering are those that are trying to set things aright and help us to understand from God's viewpoint what must happen if we have any hope for change we can believe in this country and around the world. That's why I've had to come to you in the past week and tell you that our donations are down significantly to the point where last week I was told we were at zero balance in our bank account. Paying all of our bills, we're at zero balance. Now, that leaves us in a somewhat precarious position because radio stations require a 30-day notice. Minimum a 30-day notice if you're not going to re-air during the next month. And so we have to make some very serious decisions. And those decisions will be based Even though, yes, we live and work and minister by faith, we still have to have the resources, because God doesn't have a heavenly counterfeiting machine in heaven or on earth, by the way. He relies upon the hearts of his people, and he has entrusted resources to his people to accomplish his purposes in the earth. And so we have a choice. We can either play along, go along, and just sort of pretend that these times don't matter. They're not really perilous times. And if so, there's nothing I can do about it anyway, which there is. You can help us get this message out to bring revival, to bring repentance, to bring correction, to bring discipleship, to bring hope and deliverance around the world. By the way, we just received an email from a gentleman listening to this program in Bhutan. Last week it was Russia. It's just amazing. It's just amazing. We're bringing a message of global hope to the world, joy to the world. The Lord has come. He didn't come as a baby to keep as a baby, my friends. He came to grow up just like you and I must grow up and start taking things seriously. And he was willing to take things so seriously that he was willing to sacrifice, after 3.5 years of ministry, willing to sacrifice himself on the cross. And he said, if you will follow me, you must take up your cross daily and follow me. He said, if you're not willing to take up your cross, you're not worthy to be called my disciple. He didn't say that. Jesus said that. Was he condemning people? No. He was just saying the straight-out truth. That's what it means to be a disciple. You follow Jesus with a whole heart, with everything that you have, realizing everything that you have is in trust for you to minister to others, for you to carry on the kingdom business, and that's where we are. So if the Lord has been speaking to your heart about giving at this time, I urge you to do it. Don't wait for another month or so, because we may not be able to stay on the air in your location in another month. We may not even be able to stay on the internet in another month, unless there's a substantial influx of resources from God's people. Call us, 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA, or write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Call us, 1-800-SAVE-USA. Give via our website, saveus.org. By the way, you can access our weekly video teaching right there on the website. Very simple to do. Many are doing that, and I urge you to do that. I think it would be an encouragement to you. Now, lest you should think that we're just kind of spitting in the wind here, and all of this really makes no sincere connection where we live, you probably have heard that last Thursday, the New Mexico Supreme Court ruled to allow same-sex marriage across their state. The ruling makes New Mexico the 17th U.S. state to legalize gay and lesbian marriage and comes amid growing momentum on the issue that saw the governors of Hawaii and Illinois sign bills last month to permit same-sex weddings in their states. Now that same-sex marriage was legal in New Mexico, declared Santa Fe Richard Bell, the next step is to take the campaign to other states. He said, this is just the beginning. The New Mexico High Court, in a unanimous ruling, found no state law that expressly forbade gay and lesbian couples to wed, he said, and that barring such marriages amounted to unlawful discrimination based on sexual orientation. Well, you can't find anything like that in the Bible. In fact, just the opposite. So what have we done? We've cast out the cultural traces. We have rejected the authority of both God and his word. We have 74% of Americans who now claim to believe in God, but most of them just don't believe him. Therefore, as I have said before, belief in God has been killing America. Now, that may sound like a strange statement to make, but let me explain. God never commanded us to believe in him. Even the devil believes in God, friends. The demons believe in God. That's what the brother of Jesus said. James, he said, don't pat yourself on the back just because you say believe in God. Even the devils believe in God. And tremble, unlike Americans today. So what is God looking for? He's looking for people who believe him. Not believe in him, but believe him. And where the Bible talks about believing in Jesus, it's not talking about believing that Jesus was a real person or even that he was the Son of God. It's talking about hanging your life on the fact that you what you say you believe. In other words, you believe what Jesus said. You don't just believe that he exists. So when Jesus said, if you're going to call yourself by my name, you're going to have to take up your cross daily and follow me, you believe that, and you conduct your life accordingly. If Jesus says, if you will not forgive others their wrongs against you, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you, you say, I agree with that, and will conduct my life accordingly. In other words, I'm not going to hold on to bitterness and unforgiveness because I realize it could cost me my eternal life. That's what Jesus said. If God isn't going to forgive you, your eternal destiny is on the line, my friends. That's what Jesus was trying to say. Is there anyone out there? When Jesus said, whoever marries the one whoever divorces their spouse causes them to commit adultery, and whoever marries the one so divorced commits adultery, doesn't that cause us to have to seriously consider the implications of a divorce rate in the church for the past 25 years that has equaled or exceeded the nation as a whole? The divorce rate in the Bible Belt of America that has exceeded the nation as a whole by 50% for the past 15 to 20 years? How is it we don't get it? Friends, these are the perilous times. They aren't coming in the future. They're right here smacking us in the face. We're like the frog in the kettle being boiled alive. 1 degree every year until pretty soon there's nothing left. I tell you, there is not too much left that God can bless in this country. We have become Sodom and Gomorrah. That's what people really believe about everything that really matters. We'll be back.
When Jesus described the times leading to his return, he warned that pestilence would ravage the earth. And we're now in those times, and medical experts are warning of plagues, viruses, and life-threatening conditions for which antibiotics are either losing effectiveness or have no effect. MRSA is one of those even ravaging our hospitals. So what can we do? Amazingly, a new technology called Silver Sol has recently been discovered, and this technology is so good and so effective in responding to these conditions that it's even been patented. And it comes in both liquid and gel form. For the safety of your family, I want to urge you to look at Silver Sol. Go to our website now, saveus.org, and get more information. Then order yours today. That's saveus.org or call 1-800-SAVE-USA. That's 1-800-SAVE-USA. Do it today. Don't delay.
Welcome back to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Chrismeyer. Today we're looking at our times, understanding our times, and what Americans believe and don't in our hearts. We began by looking at Patterson and Kim's study back in 1990, compiled in their book, The Day America Told the Truth, What People Really Believe About Everything That Matters. They concluded from their research that only 13% of Americans in 1990 believed in all of the Ten Commandments. Only 13%. Can you imagine how low that percentage is today? Let me give you an idea how low it would be. Right now, among professing Christian young people 30 and under, only 9% of them claim to believe in absolute truth. Do you know what that means? That means of this current younger generation, sometimes referred to as millennials, of this generation that people are putting so much hope and stock in, at best, 9% of the professing Christian young people believe in all of the Ten Commandments, at very best. Now let's put it another way. That same group of people, professing Christian young people ages 30 and under, the millennials, only 20% of them profess to believe that Jesus Christ is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. Do you know what that says? That says they believe in other gods. That says they believe in other ways to get to heaven. In fact, it says you don't have to believe in Jesus to get to heaven. Therefore, you don't have to believe what Jesus says. And since the Bible says that Jesus was the creator of heaven and earth, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Therefore, they don't have to believe that he's the creator either. And that's why the majority now believe not in creation, not that God created, but in evolution. That, my friends, is where we are. That is the alternative choice of non-believers to explain how we got here so that they do not have to be under the authority of a God who created. That way they can run their lives the way they want. As Aldous Huxley said, I believe it was Aldous Huxley said, you know why I have to believe in evolution? Because the contrary, the alternative is that to believe in a God, he then would have the right to tell me how I should live. And I'm not going to have any God telling me, governing my sex life. Is there anyone there, out there, listening? Patterson and Kim said, we can no longer tell right from wrong. This was in 1990. It also raises fear and doubt, which leads to depression. He said Americans in the 1990s have more of both freedom and doubt and of depression than any previous generation. And friends, that has not gotten better. It's getting worse. Do we not see the handwriting on the wall? And yet, instead of telling people, because we love people and love our country and want to see God governing our country again, a loving God governing our country with truth and with justice and with judgment, instead of our pastors elevating the authority of God and his word, they actually are becoming more and more mealy-mouthed in dealing with it and telling the people only the things that they think the people will want to hear, and in ways that they think they would want to hear it. Now, let's go back to the Harris poll. Belief in God fails. This just came out today. First of all, 74% of Americans believe in God. That number is down from 96%. In 1990, from 82% in 2009. The number of respondents that said they believe in miracles is also down to 72% from 79%. While 68% say they believe Jesus is God, that's down from 72% that felt that way in 2009. Notice how every single one of these measures is down about 6 or 7, maybe 8% overall. Belief in the virgin birth has also dropped from 60% to 57%, while the number of respondents believing in the resurrection of Jesus Christ has fallen from 70% to 65%. Now, when you don't believe in the virgin birth, you don't believe that Jesus is capable of forgiving our sin because he was a sinful man. That's the whole idea of the virgin birth. He was not tainted with the sin of Adam. Therefore, he could become a righteous Adam who then could give himself as the sacrifice for many, the Lamb of God who would take away the sin of the world and give us the hope of salvation. Now, we no longer believe in the foundation of biblical hope. And then, belief in the resurrection of Jesus Christ has fallen from 70% to 65%. So 35% of Americans have completely abandoned the hope of the resurrection. And as the Apostle Paul said, if in this life only you have hope, you are of all men most miserable. Now you can understand why the misery index in our country is elevated so dramatically. 68% believe in heaven. That's down from 75%. 58% believe there is a hell and a devil. That's down from 62%. The same poll found that 42% of respondents believe in ghosts. 36% believe in UFOs, 29% believe in astrology, 26% believe in witches, and 24% believe in reincarnation. What a mixed up people we are. 83% of mature adults believe in God. Only 64% of millennials say they believe in God. Now, they believe in God, but they don't believe God, obviously, because of those same millennials who profess to be Christians, only 20% believe that Jesus Christ is the only way. Therefore, while claiming to believe in God, they don't believe in the God of the Bible. They've constructed their own God. But it didn't begin with the millennials. It began with their parents, the baby boomers and the baby busters. And that's why on April 5th, 1993, 20 years ago, Time Magazine, in one of the most profound articles they have ever printed, said that Americans were then flooding back to church and church would never again be the same. Why? Because Americans were constructing a custom-made God, one made in their own image. In other words, we're engaged in a kind of spiritual idolatry in which we actually are recreating, redefining, reimagining God as we want him to be, to say what we want him to say, to not say what we don't want him to say. And you see, this is the problem that Phil Robertson faced in the GQ interview. This is the thing that Bill O'Reilly got all riled up about when he accused Phil Robertson of condemning homosexuals. Phil Robertson did not condemn homosexuals. God did. God did. In fact, all who refuse to repent, whether homosexuals, murderers, fornicators, adulterers, liars, unforgiveness, people that hold bitterness, hey, all are condemned. That's what Jesus said. If you do not believe and follow the Word of God, you're condemned already. We're so confused, so mixed up. You and I cannot bring eternal condemnation on a single soul. But if we quote the Word of God, what we're doing is expressing God's will and His Word and His ways and leaving the results to Him, merely agreeing with what He has said. I would not dare pronounce judgment, a condemning ultimate judgment on any man. That's God's business. But we dare not refuse to declare what God has said concerning sin and salvation. On the question of religion, ...19% claim to be very religious, while 40% say they are somewhat religious. And those figures are down 9 points since 2007. So even on the category of feeling religious, it's falling apart. The number of Americans who say they are not religious at all has nearly doubled since 2007, from 12% to 23%. So nearly a quarter of all Americans do not consider themselves religious in any way whatsoever. In other words, the whole concept of religion doesn't even compute for them. Perilous times. Perilous times have come. They are our times. And the question is, what can we do? What should we do? Repent. That's God's remedy. It's His only remedy. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, what does that mean? You say, well, I'm a believer. Yes, don't you think believers need to repent? Don't you think that a huge part of the problem that our country faces in these perilous times is due to rebellious Christians who refuse to agree with what God has said? If you don't believe that, then how is it that you can explain that only 20% of our so-called Christian young people, 30 years of age and younger, don't believe that Jesus is the only way, the only truth, and the only life? How do you explain that? It's because 50-some percent of their parents don't believe that anymore. Is there anyone listening? We need to repent. We have absorbed and been modified by the culture, and we bow to the shrine of the culture and have abandoned the cross of Christ. That's the problem. So I want to ask you a question. Who do you choose today? Not just in theory. Do you believe God or just believe in Him? Do you agree with what He has said concerning the issues of life and issues of our time, regarding marriage, regarding divorce, regarding remarriage, regarding forgiveness, regarding telling the truth, and so on? Do you believe those things or not? Understanding our times, what we believe in and what we don't. Thanks for joining us. Make sure you get a copy of the book, Renewing the Soul of America. Very, very encouraging to you. $15. It's an $18 book. Call us 1-800-SAVE-USA. Get it on our website, saveus.org, and pray for the future of our country, friends. And begin with ourselves.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismier. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.